And this is what it says. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. But go tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When I first read this passage, there was a couple of things here that quite concerned me. And we have to remember that here, there's this group of women that wake up early and they start this journey to the tomb of Jesus. We've got to understand here that these are organized women. They've already bought the spices. They've organized a meeting point. They've set their alarm clocks. They've got up early and they start this journey towards Jesus. How many know there's one thing that troubles me when I read this? And that is, they're organized women, but they missed one major part. And that's they actually forgot to organize for someone to roll away the stone. You would have thought that when they were organizing this event, whether it was the night before or a few days before, they actually would have considered that, hey, there's a fairly big obstacle in the way for the task that we want to do. So how about, yes, let's buy spices. Yes, let's text each other. Yes, let's set our alarm clocks. But maybe they should have had the thought that there's a massive stone in the way and maybe we should put some thought into getting that removed. But we don't see this. We see this group of women who are walking along and it's although they've just disregarded this whole situation. They've got the checklist. Spices, check. Hair and makeup, check. Set the alarm clock, check. The meeting point, check. All these things are in place. And what I would consider as the most important thing they've left out. There's a massive obstacle between them and Jesus. And I can imagine if I was with these women walking along the road, it would have been fun at the start. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says they actually started talking about, hey, how are we going to remove this stone? And if I was journeying with these women, I would have stopped them and said, hang on, guys, have you not actually thought about this? Why are we even continuing if there's no plan to remove the stone? Just hold up. We're wasting our time. We're here, we're in an isolated area, it's not safe, let's go back home in the safety of our house and work out a plan before we start the journey. Who's with me? But this is not what happened. We see that there's this group of women who start this journey, they start moving towards the tomb and they have no solution of how to remove this incredibly big obstacle in front of them. Historians tell us that this rock was about 2 tons in weight. It was jammed in the entrance of the tomb. See, the women had spices, but they had no strength to move the stone. They had supplies, but they had no resources to move something that was much larger than they could handle. As I started digging deeper into the text, I found some things that were quite fascinating. I started thinking there would have been a good reason why the other disciples, namely the men, weren't with the women that morning. And I was trying to find a good reason as I researched. And the first thing that came to my mind was, well, back in those days, this was probably a woman's job, was to take the spices and do these proceedings and do all that stuff around the burial. But what I found was, as I researched, no, this is not the case. But as I read more and more into this story, I found out that most scholars sort of arrive at the fact that there's probably only one reason why the men and the other disciples weren't with the women. And that's because they were scared and they locked themselves at home. And so when we realize that, we actually see there's a slightly different picture here. We see here that these women have pushed past fear. We know there that the whole followers of Jesus were terrified because they thought they were going to be next to be killed. But what happens in this moment is there's a group of women who push past their fear. They step out of the locked doors and they actually start on a journey of faith. While they're journeying along with their spices, questioning as to how this stone is going to be rolled away or moved, the other disciples, the men, are back home installing more deadlocks on their doors. This is the reality of what's going on here. As I was thinking about this passage and as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, how many know that there's obstacles all the time in our lives that stop us from getting to Jesus? How many know that oftentimes our response can be like the rest of the disciples? And whether it's discouragement, whether it's fear, disappointment, whatever the case may be, all of a sudden we isolate ourselves. We try and stay in a safe place because we don't understand the full extent of the future. Maybe there's even obstacles in our life that it's like, hey, that's a two-ton rock. Who's ever had that? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's relational issues. Maybe issues with the family. Maybe sin. Maybe a negative health report. Maybe it's business and finance. It's like, hey, I've tried to push on this before and it's a two-ton rock. And here we see as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday that there was a group of women who actually stepped outside and took a step of faith and says, hey, we don't know how this stone is going to be removed. We have no clue, but all we're going to do is, this is one thing we know, we can't stay here. We can't stay here behind locked doors. And so they moved. They started walking towards Jesus. The story continues, and as the women approach the tomb, there's an angel who's moved the stone and is sitting on the stone. How many know that the angel wasn't sitting on the stone because he was tired? Or because he needed a rest? Or because the stone was such a mass of difficulty to move? Back in that culture, when a rabbi or a teacher was about to instruct people in new revelation, a new authority, they would actually sit down before they addressed the people. And so when the women came and saw the tomb, the stone rolled away, and saw the angel sitting on the stone, they knew exactly what this meant. What that meant was that, hey, Jesus is not here, and all power and authority has been given to him. I just ask if the worship team can come now. I'm not going to preach long this morning. I want you to look at another passage in John chapter 20, verse 11. And we're going to read a few verses here as we finish up this morning. John chapter 20, verse 11 to 16. It says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying." This is John's account of this same story. "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabbani,' which means teacher." This week I was reading this passage to my kids as we were going over the Easter story. And I got to the bit where it says that Jesus is speaking with Mary and she has no clue who it is. And it's fascinating me because it wasn't like the disciples had just seen Jesus once before his crucifixion. He was doing ministry for 3.5 years. That's about 1,300 days. They were very familiar with who Jesus was, what he looked like, what he sounded like. And here in this moment, Mary has no clue that she's talking to Jesus. And as I'm pondering how this could be possible, I turned to my oldest son, who's Tommy, he's 8 years old. And I said, "Tom, you got to help me out." I said, "Why could Mary not realize that this was Jesus?" And he thought about it. Then he said, "That's easy." He said, "She thought he was dead." The disappointment, the reality of Jesus' death was so in their minds that even when he was before them, they couldn't recognize him. Disappointment, discouragement, fear will stop us seeing who Jesus is. But the good news in this passage is that even when Mary had no clue that Jesus was there, he was there working. When she had no clue, in discouragement, in despair, he was actually right there all along. We see this with the women who got up early. Most likely they got up when it was still dark. And they set out for this journey towards the tomb. How many know that in the darkness, they were unaware that God was working? Little did they know that there was resurrection power happening right at the tomb. And I want to say this morning, hey, you might have obstacles in your life that are like a two-ton rock. Maybe they've been there for many, many years. Maybe you can't even think of time when they're not in your life. But I want to say, just because you don't see him doesn't mean he's not working. Just because you don't experience Him the way you want does not mean God is not passionately at work in your life. Maybe you're here and you're like, hey, I've been praying for my kids. I see nothing. Hey, let me say this morning, just because you don't see God at work, it doesn't mean He's not working. Maybe you're like Hayden said this morning, maybe you're and you've got a health condition and you've been praying, you've been believing, and you're not seeing the manifestation of that. Let me encourage you this morning. Just because you don't see God the way that you're looking for it doesn't mean He's not there passionately working. Maybe you've got addictions that you've struggled with for as long as you can. Maybe your marriage has been dysfunctional for 42 years. Let me tell you this morning that you may not see Him, but He is working passionately in your life. Maybe you've been suffering with anxiety for 7 years. And stress. Let me tell you that you may not see Him, but He's at work. I want to encourage you, Hope Point family, that He's looking for a step of faith. He's looking for us just like these women to say, hey, I don't know how these obstacles are going to be removed. And maybe right now you're thinking, hey, I don't even believe the stone can be removed. I don't even actually believe, I don't even have faith to believe that that obstacle in my life, that stronghold can be done away with. I want to encourage you just to go on a journey towards Him. Step outside the fear. Don't be like the other disciples, the men who stayed back and secured themselves because of fear. But let's be people that walk on that journey of faith and arrive at that place and see what God will do through the resurrection power. This morning, if you're here and maybe you've never heard about this Jesus Christ, maybe you have heard about Him in the past, but you find yourself here this morning, and on Resurrection Sunday, He is providing an invitation to us. And maybe you're like, who is this Jesus? Maybe you've got distorted views of what He's like. I want to read some lyrics here from a passage called That's My King. And this is a description of what Jesus, our victorious Savior, is. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meager. I wonder if you know Him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway to deliverance. He's the pathway to peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. Yes, He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him out of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Let's rejoice. That's our King. And that same King gives us a simple invitation today. Will you come in relationship with the Father? And just while every eye is closed, I want to give you this invitation this morning to say yes to Jesus. It takes courage to say yes to Jesus, just like it takes courage for these women to leave their place of safety and journey to the tomb. If you're here this morning, I want to include you in a prayer. It's a simple prayer, but the most important prayer, it's more than a prayer, you'll ever do and say, and that's saying yes to him. And if you're here right now and you say, hey, I want my sins forgiven. I want everything that Jesus purchased on the cross to be mine. I want to come into personal relationship with the Father, and that's you here today. I just want you to raise your hand. I just want to include you in a prayer. Is there anyone this morning? I see the hand right down the back. That's awesome. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody this morning else that wants to say yes to Jesus? As I look across, forgiveness of your sin, a brand new start. Anyone this morning? Yeah, thank you. I see that hand. Just one more time. Thank you. I see that hand. Maybe you're here and you're not sure. Maybe you've made a decision before, but today's the day that you say yes to him. Just one more time. If anyone else this morning wants to say yes to Jesus, thank you. Anybody else? We're going to pray this morning. This is worth celebrating because this is what Jesus died for and rose again for. And if you're here and you put your hand up, I want you to repeat these words after me, and everyone else in this place is going to repeat them as well. It's a simple but a profound prayer of saying yes to him. Let's say this together. Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for taking the penalty of my sin. And today, of my own free will, I choose you. I hand my life to you. And from this moment on, I choose to live for you. Amen. Why don't you jump up on your feet this morning? One last time. You're going to be doing a lot of jumping in the jumping castle, so especially those ones that have eaten too much chocolate. We're going to finish and celebrate. We're going to lift the roof on this place and celebrate our victorious King. Awesome. Thank you, team.